Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Even a casual look at the landscape of our culture raises the question of how we can best be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in a society that is redefining its most basic institution. And this is not something that is being projected to happen in the future. It is happening even as we speak with blinding speed. And as I've said in previous broadcasts, we must first recognize that God has spoken. And the moment we do, we will set our sights not by shooting stars, but rather set our sights by the North Star. We must be clear with respect to what God has said. And we must be equipped to communicate the truths of Scripture with gentleness and with respect. And that means we can preach all the right things in all the wrong ways, and we can either yield conviction when we need to have conviction to compromise in the interest of appeasing the culture, or we can become those who are transitional in the culture, those who are no longer microcosms of the culture, but change agents in the culture. And to that point, we must not yield. We must never yield conscience to the subtle lure of political correctness. Because when we do, we capitulate to the culture rather than being salt and light in the culture. So with Luther, you and I must say, my conscience is held captive to the Word of God, and to act against my conscience is neither right nor is it safe. The point of all of that is simply this. We have been called to be lighthouses, as it were, in the midst of gathering darkness. This is why I ask people to stand with the ministry of the Christian Research Institute prayerfully and financially. Please know that we will not compromise to political correctness, no matter how strong the tide. The only reason for me doing what I do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, through the Christian Research Journal, through the many ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, is biblical fidelity, is discernment. The moment we give in, there is no reason for being. And so we will not compromise, and please know that compromise is rampant. More than that, biblical illiteracy is rampant. So please stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org or by writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you one of my books, and I would be more than happy to personalize that book to you, a family member or a friend. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Matthew, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry. And my question is, as far as witnessing to the homosexual community, I work with a guy. He's homosexual, sits right next to me every day. You know, how do I break that barrier? How do I talk to him about what is truth, you know, in a clear, concise way where he's not offended? That's my problem, is that people, when I try to witness, they try to say that, well, you're just a bigot, and they call me names and everything when I'm coming with peace and sincerity. But what is the effective way to get through that barrier?
Well, remember that this is the same for all who are non-believers. We are to reach out to all of them with gentleness and with respect. We are to be able to clearly communicate what we believe and why we believe what we believe, so that sometimes that communication is verbal and sometimes that communication is by the very life that you lead. That's sort of like the salt in the oats that causes someone to want to drink or to eat. It is something that makes them salivate. They want to know what it is about you that gives you a sense of peace and serenity in the midst of life's storms. And then you're able to communicate where that peace comes from. It comes from being a participant in the kingdom. When you are a participant of the kingdom, of course, you join the kingdom by recognizing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That he's the only one that can bridge the chasm between our unrighteousness and the holiness of God. He's the only one that can give our lives the ultimate meaning, the purpose, and fulfillment that they were destined to have. And so what we do is we point out that Jesus is the wisest man who ever lived, but not only a man, he is the God-man. He is God in human flesh, and that to follow him is the wisest thing that we can do. And following him ultimately leads to conforming our lives to his precepts and principles. And for all of us, that is a journey, and we're all in a different stage of that journey. Some are farther down the road than others. Some know more about the precepts and principles of the kingdom than others. But to follow Jesus Christ ultimately means that your life will change because you recognize that the one who knit you together in your mother's womb knows precisely how life is to be lived.
Excellent. I thank you for your ministry.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John. New York, New York, listening on the web. Hi, John.
Hey, how's everything, Hank?
Doing good. Good talking to you.
My question, I actually got into, a dialogue with an atheist, and he was trying to tell me that a religion called Zoroastrianism predates Christianity. A lot of Christianity and Judeo-Christians took the concept of heaven, hell, Satan, a messiah from that religion. I tried to look it up online. I couldn't really find anything too much about the religion other than just, I guess you say, Jesus bashing websites and parallelism websites, nothing to say in depth about the religion. So I was wondering if you could just, I guess, tell me a little bit about it and how I can, I guess, talk to this person, defend my faith.
Yeah, good question. One of the things I wrote about in my Complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition, is whether or not Christianity was influenced by ancient pagan mystery religions, and the principles here apply. The mystery religions were syncretistic in that adherents not only worshipped various pagan deities, but also frequently embraced aspects of competing mystery religions while continuing to worship within their own cultic constructs. But this is completely the inverse with the historic Christian faith. Converts to Christ singly place their faith in the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The principles here apply to Zoroastrianism because they have their own Messiah figure, and they believe he will bring ultimate victory after a 6,000-year struggle. Of course, 3,000 years has already passed before the time of Zoroaster. But this is a religion of Persia, modern Iran. I spoke at the University of Tehran and Alma-Tabet about their sociology university, and I ran into this religion quite a bit in talking to students there. It's based on the teachings of the prophet Zoroaster, But what was he as a prophet? He was a polytheist. Now, how could Christianity borrow from polytheism? The Judeo-Christian tradition is fiercely monotheistic, and therefore you can never bridge the chasm between Zoroastrianism and Christianity with rhetoric, nor can you say that one has derived from the other. The two are mutually incompatible because one teaches many gods, the other teaches that there is only one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll be right back.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We will talk next to Ben in Parker, Colorado, listening on the web. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I have a friend, a very close friend, that actually, to be honest with you, it's someone I'm looking to possibly get engaged to, my future fiance, and she goes to a church that teaches what they call the soul sleep. I also call it conditional immortality.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's something that I was raised very, you know, the fun that when we pass away, being absent from the body is being present with the Lord. And this teacher that she follows, a guy named Tim Warner, basically teaches the concept of conditional immortality, that when we die, we go to sleep until the second coming of Christ. And then that's when we are judged and either stay on earth in the new heaven, or we're sent into hell. And I just, you know, I've been doing a lot of research. I've read what you wrote on it. And it's just something I don't agree with. I don't think it's a very biblical perspective, but I just kind of wanted to get your take on it.
Well, as you allude to, I've written about this, and what I point out is that the New Testament is unambiguous. What it is communicating is that the soul continues to have awareness, though the body has died. And we see that not only in the story that Jesus Christ tells about Lazarus dying and his soul being carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom or paradise, where he has conscious existence and that he's being comforted there, and the rich man who dies ends up in torment, and he is conscious of his condition as well. In fact, he wants Lazarus to be sent back by God to warn his five brothers that they don't come to a place such as this. Not only that, but while being stoned in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is praying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And of course, the text says he fell asleep, but the text also points out that falling asleep has to do with his physical death. It's clear that while the body of Stephen died, the non-physical aspect of his humanity continued to have existence. And as is obvious from this very account, sleep is a common metaphor for death of the body in distinction from death of the soul. So the Bible speaks of the body asleep in death, but the Bible never speaks of the soul asleep in death.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Well, thank you for your time and your answer. I really appreciate that.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for your call as well. Yang next in Kansas City. Hi, Yang.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question.
Sure.
I'm sure you probably answered this somewhere else, such as maybe your Bible Answer Man book, but I was just kind of wondering your thoughts, or maybe where you can direct me to in the Bible regarding capital punishment.
Sure. You're right. I have written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, and in that book I make three basic points. The first point is that in the very first book of the Bible, God clearly communicates his position with respect to capital punishment, and that position is found in Genesis chapter 6, where God says, "Whoever sheds the blood of humanity, by humanity shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made humanity." And I think it's very important to note here that this passage not only predates the Mosaic Law, but it demands universal adherence to the sanctity of life. The second point that I've made in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition in this regard is that in Exodus 21 and also in Deuteronomy 19, the Bible reaffirms God's perspective on capital punishment, and it does so by underscoring the principle of life for life. In other words, to murder a person who is made in the image of God is not only to show contempt for the apex of God's creation, but also to show contempt for the Creator himself. And therefore, while capital punishment may be reprehensible from a secular perspective, I think it's very basic to a biblical worldview. And then the third point that I make is that capital punishment is implicitly, and I think the operative word there is implicitly, it's implicitly validated in the New Testament scriptures. Jesus acknowledged the legitimacy of capital punishment when he stood before Pilate in John 19. The Apostle Paul did somewhat the same thing before the Roman governor Festus in Acts chapter 25. And not only that, but remember one of the thieves that was crucified with Jesus Christ had the candor to say, we were punished justly for what we are getting is what our deeds deserve. And in Romans chapter 13, there's the implication that the failure of the governing authorities to apply the sword, and by the way, the sword was the Roman symbol for capital punishment, exalts evil and eradicates equity. So the bottom line for me has always been that God's instituted capital punishment in the earliest stages of human civilization before the Mosaic Law, that capital punishment is never abrogated by Jesus or the apostles, and therefore capital punishment appears, at least from my perspective, to be an enduring moral principle undergirding the sanctity of those who are created in the image of God.
All right. Hey, thanks for your ministry and all that you guys do.
Well, thank you, Ying. I appreciate those kind words. They're very meaningful. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Frank. He's listening in Salisbury, North Carolina. Hi, Frank.
Hey, listen, I got a question. I pastor a church here in Salisbury.
Uh-huh.
And I got two ladies coming to me about marriage. I'm trying to make a stand against them. I've talked to a couple other pastors that I know about this situation. They said if I refuse to marry them, they can take me to court and sue my church. You know anything about this?
Well, we can give you some information with respect to what you just said. You're being asked to marry two women, and if you don't marry those two women, your church could be sued, you could be taken to court, and you could be broken financially and ruined as a pastor. This is, though, the stand that you must take. The stand is that whatever the consequences, we, like Luther, say, here I stand because I'm captive to the Word of God. I can do no other, and to do otherwise isn't really safe because the most fearful thing is to fall under the judgment of God Himself. And as Joe Dallas has pointed out on this broadcast many times, when we talk about marriage redefinition, we're not talking about a peripheral issue, but one that is central to the fabric of civilization and to the institution that God has created in such a way that it knits society together in a cohesive fashion, such that the most vulnerable in our culture are not sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. Look, this is not only true from the standpoint of Scripture, but as you should make plain to those who would hear what you have to say as a pastor, is the social sciences demonstrate that children are best served by marriage defined as a mother and a father. This is not a Christian paradigm, although the Christian paradigm comports with it. This is the metrics that you find through sociological evaluation. Not only that, but marriage redefinition, as I've said many times, devalues civil society and in the process damages the most vulnerable among us. And therefore, marriage cannot be reduced to politically correct rhetoric or political whims. It is a matter of natural law. Rights come from our nature. Our nature comes from God. And if someone denies that, then they are denying the basis for all our other rights. So if you capitulate at this point, you're capitulating on rights that come from God. And in response, in its stead, what you get is something completely different. Rights that come from shifting sands of human whim. In other words, rights that are a function of the largest lobby group or whatever the sentiment is with those who are in the majority. And we can see through civilization historically that that is a very bad place to be. So in the end, to redefine marriage strikes a mortal blow to the very foundation of a free society. I've also pointed out that there's the basic issue of biology. Every organ in the human body is self-sufficient to perform its intended function except one. So natural reproduction always, always, always requires the coupling of a male and a female. And as Dr. J. Richards has said on this broadcast, marriage protects, it reflects, it reinforces a powerful complementary reproductive part of our nature, and therefore marriage is a comprehensive union of body, mind, emotion, and soul, a proper end of which is children. So it's not only what we have in the Bible, but what is reflected in plain old biology. Got to leave it at that, Pastor Frank, but this is no trifling matter. If you want further information, we've written about this, including the Christian Research Journal, but this is not a place where we can capitulate. Tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is a virtue, but tolerance when it comes to truth is a travesty. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.